first verse, not your typical Christmas scripture, but it's the word of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Is that all right?
All right.
Amen. While you're getting that, giving honor to God the Father, to Jesus, Son, to the Holy Spirit who is present with us, to the shepherd of this house, our own Reverend Dr. Harold Sylvester Stinger. Amen. To Sister Stinger, who is down Camden, New Texas. Amen. Fellow suffers in the gospel to this choir who seems to grow and grow and grow and grow. To these musicians, to all the officials here, each of you God's children, to my lovely wife and two sons. Well, I feel all right. Amen. Amen. It's so good to be with you on this day. It's good to be on this side of the dirt any day. Amen.
Amen.
And if you have 2 Corinthians 7:1, we're going to start our reading. And I'm going to read to you from the King James Version. It says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness and the fear of God. Receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said before that you are in our hearts to die and to live with you. Great is my boldness of speech towards you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. For when we were come in Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. But we were troubled on every side. Without were fighting, within were fears. Nevertheless, God, that comforted those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? God, we just want to tell you thank you for being God all by yourself.
Yeah.
Well, we need your word today.
Yeah.
I'm a messenger just standing in need of your word. But you said your word, you were sent forth, your word to the earth would not return to you void.
Yeah.
But as you give us your word, Lord, open up our eyes that we can see, our ears that we can hear, our hearts that we can understand. Lord, hide me so deep within the crevices of your cross to be hiding to none of me is seen, but only you.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you give your glory.
Yes.
This is our prayer today in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. For a little while, do y'all smell those turkeys? Since I'm standing between you and that meal, I want to talk to you from the subject in the middle of it. In the middle of it. Turn to your neighbors and neighbor. I'm in the middle of it. In verse number 5, I want to read that verse again. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fighting, and within were feared. It is a pronoun used to refer to something that was previously mentioned. In our text today, it refers to something that is negative, something that has something bad associated with it. It specifically speaks, in this case, for Paul, to trouble. This Sunday before Christmas, almost the last Sunday in the year, normally it is, as we look back over the year, every one of us can remember a time when we were in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Truth be told, if we were honest, some of you sitting here right now, in the middle of it. Even though we can count our blessings and name them one by one, we can count our many blunders and name them and see that we were in the middle of a mess more time than we care to talk about. If we were to examine more closely the messy it moments, I call them, that when we were in the middle of it, we find that there, at least for those who are saved, there are a couple of truths that take place. Actually, for anyone, number one is when we're there, the reason we're there may be twofold. One is we're there because either others caused it, either we caused it, but what is consistent is God was the one that comforted us while we were in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, what is it? I don't want you to define for me what your it is, but you know what it is, right? Right? If not, think about it for a minute. It'll come to you. This is where Paul finds himself in our text this morning. Paul had planted and pastored the church at Corinth. He did it for several years, but now he had departed. But even though he had departed, there were some things that were taking place back at the church that Paul felt the need to get involved in. So Paul wrote some letters. History teaches us that there were four letters written, but we have documented in Scripture two of those letters. The first letter, Paul, he writes to rebuke those because of their sinful living and their lifestyle. The second letter he writes to specifically speak to a situation that his opponents were causing when they began to talk about him and tried to discount Paul and his apostleship. Paul's letters were stern and pointed. He didn't hesitate to call wrong, wrong. Somebody say call a spade a spade. I mean, he told it like it was. Y'all with me today?
Yeah.
He talked to the Corinthians and those that were outside to let them know, here is the situation. Now, you might not like it, but it is.
What it is.
Right, right. It's hard to, you cannot get on the right road if you're not accepting the fact that you're on the wrong road.
All right.
See, if everybody's patting you on your back and wrong, it's hard for you to get right. And if you're right already, or at least think you're right, nobody can tell you you're right, right. Y'all right? Y'all with me so far? So he called it, put in the first letter to Corinthians, the spirit world was seen to have more influence in the church than the spirit of God.
Yeah.
It seemed that they were doing more stuff in Corinth than they were doing outside in the world. Now, we don't know anything about that over here, but I just want to give you some history on it. See, so when Paul wanted to change it, so when he wrote the letter, he specifically started to talk. He said there is some dissension in the church. He talked about it. There's some incest in the church. Imagine that. There's some divorces taking place and marital issues in the church. There's some issues with freedom or liberty and responsibility in the church. There's some issues with lawlessness, eating before idols in the church. There's some issues with spiritual gifts and church order in the church. Everybody want to speak in tongues at the same time. Everybody want to be bigger than everybody else. Everybody want to shout louder.
Come on,
the walk is shaky, but the shout is good. There's some money issues in the church. There's some issues with the resurrection from the dead. Some believe it and some don't in the church. And Paul writes this letter specifically to call out the number of issues that are in the church. Now, you think about this for a minute. You know how hard it is to tell somebody wrong that you love that they're wrong?
Yeah.
When the last time you did it? Don't raise your hand. In the second letter, Paul writes to Corinthians. Paul opens the discussions about his ministry and the false teachers, the false prophets who had somehow tried to distort his relationship with the people at Corinth.
Yeah.
You know, no, everybody is not necessarily on your side. Everybody, just because you're doing good, does not mean that they support you. But having sent these two letters, now I want you to see where Paul finds himself. Paul now finds himself somewhere in Asia, Ephesus, and he finds himself sinking in depression, thinking about what he had said to those in that letter about his ministry and about the church.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, see, you know when you write a letter, and you know how you get angry, and you write something, and you send it out. That, or you say something that you know that immediately come to your mind. You share a piece of your mind that you can't afford right away, and you want to retract it. But he had already put it in the P.O. box called Titus, and Titus was on the road. And back in the day, they didn't have Moses. They couldn't catch him on the website real fast and say, bring it back. It was too late. Titus was gone, and so now he's wondering and worrying. How is the church going to receive what he said? Wait a minute. Paul, why are you concerned if you said what was right, what people care? I mean, truth hurts. Deal with it. Right? Yeah, right. Until it comes your way. Let somebody tell you the truth. How do I look today? How's this dress? Do I look fat? Is this a trick question? Speaking the truth, the Bible says in love. I can't answer that. Y'all follow me? Here he has written a letter, and he finds himself, despite his good attention, but despite the fact that he was a Christian, he finds himself now worrying about and concerned about the outcome, and now he's in Macedonia. But I want you to see something. He left Ephesus, where he had delivered the first letter of Corinth. Paul then went to Troas, where he stopped for a time, waiting for Titus to arrive, and Titus didn't show up. Well, now, he was hoping that Titus would get there to Troas and tell him how the church had responded to the letter. But no, Titus didn't show up. So Paul went on to Macedonia, still having to wait and be concerned. So he has a long time to be concerned about what he said and the impact of what he said. So Paul is going deeper and deeper. And church, let me say something. You cannot change your geographical location and think you're going to change your situation. Some of us think that just because we can move, he had moved from Ephesus to Troas to Macedonia, and Paul found himself in the same position in Ephesus. He found himself in the same position in Troas. He found himself in the same position in Macedonia, the same place, even though he was in different locations. The common denominator was Paul. See, some of us church hopping and wonder why the church messed up.
Come on, man.
The
Come
common
on.
Denominator?
Come on.
I'm just saying. You can run, but you can hide. You know, it's all right to change your scenery, but you got to understand, it works best in changing your scenery when you're not the cause or you're not the one that needs to be changed. Is that all right? Look at what he said. Now, look, I'm going to prove myself. I want to prove a point here. 2 Corinthians 2, 12 and 14, he says, and this is written in Paul, he said, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel and a door was opened unto me of the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus, my brother. But taking my leave from them, I went from thence to Macedonia. Is it better in Macedonia? Pick up the text this morning in the fifth verse of our text, 2 Corinthians 7, 5. For when we were come to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. Sound the same? But there was trouble on every side. Without were fighting, and within were fears. So you're in a different place. And the situation is the same. You're in a different location, dealing with a different group of people, but you're having the same problem. I want to ask, this is rhetorical, but how many of you have tried to run away from your problem and thought you were going to be all right? While we see it was trouble in our text, trouble on every side, my question is, why did it cause Paul unrest despite his time and his travel? I mean, somebody said time heals all wounds. If that don't do it, try going somewhere else. This changes your location. Maybe that'll try. He tried them both and neither one of them. Why was it that in this case that there's trouble for Paul falling? One could argue that Paul tried because he was troubled. He was challenged because he was troubled on every side. Paul got tired. You know, you get tired when everywhere you turn, trouble. You look to your right, trouble. To your left, trouble. East side, west side, south side, north side, everywhere you turn, trouble. He was in the middle of it. And there was nothing he could do but to turn and find himself in trouble. Now, let me think about this. He said, now, there are a couple of things that happened that there were in verse number 5. I see in this particular passage of Scripture, 1 through 5, Paul is setting the stage for us because it's clear to me that even in Paul's writing, he seems to be in the middle of it. His writing reflects the fact that he can't quite seem to get himself comfortable. You ever been like that? You're trying to solve something. You just can't sit ADD. I don't know what that means, but the letters just hit me all of a sudden. You're moving and group. You can't quite get comfortable doing because you're so. Paul writes in this letter. Look at what he does. In verse number 1, he tells us to perfect holiness in the fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
Well, if you fear the Lord, then you ain't got to be concerned about man.
Yeah.
Well, but in verse 2, he said, as he found himself asking the Corinthians to receive him. Which is it? Are you going to be concerned about the Lord, or are you going to be concerned about man?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What you going to do? Yeah, look at what he does in verse number 3. He's between humbly speaking not to condemn the Corinthians, to verse number 4, he's exemplifying great boldness in his speech. Which is it? You going to speak, be nice?
Yeah.
Or you going to be bold? I mean, which is, verse number 4 and 5, he was exceedingly joyful in all his tribulation. But in verse number 5, he said he was tired. His flesh could find no rest. You see what I'm saying? Paul is in the middle of it. Anybody been on Paul Street? I mean, anybody travel just down the middle of it, found yourself, you're uncomfortable, you can't quite seem to solve your own problem, but you keep trying to work it out, and you try one thing, and then that doesn't work, and you find yourself trying another thing, and that doesn't work, and you go back to try the thing that you tried, and that and you just keep on, y'all follow me? Paul, he was clearly in the middle. How did Paul get there? Well, I'm glad you asked. Paul himself ascribed his middle passage to two things. One, he said, I was fighting without, and two, there was fear within. Fighting without. Can we talk about that for a minute? The fighting without, he said, that was other folks' problem.
Yeah.
That really didn't have, I was a part of it, but I didn't have nothing necessarily to do with it. I'm just not going to let anybody say anything they feel like about me when they feel like saying it, and especially not about my God. Did y'all hear what I said? I'm not going to just let anything go on in the church of the Lord and then I not say something about it. Paul said, look at what these deacons, I was fighting with people on the outside. It seemed that every time when I was at Ephesus, I had written a letter to Corinth. It seemed that the Jews, the pagans, the Gentiles, the false brothers, the false teachers, they were claiming themselves to be apostles. And that wasn't enough that they could claim themselves, but then they had the nerve to say I wasn't an apostle. Now, I'm not concerned about what they said about me, but what I'm concerned is if they discount me, they discount my doctrine. If they discount my doctrine, they discount the truth of God, and then they will have no truth. If they don't believe me and my word that the gospel is true, then they believe these other folks and what they're saying, then that's something to go down this way and not the right way.
Right.
So I need to speak up. Did anybody get anything from that? You can't just let anything. The Hellenistic Jews, the Jews whose language, their first language was Greek, they promoted themselves as the men from the line of Moses.
Mm.
What that's got to do with Jesus?
Mm.
The Gnostic and the ascetic Jews, they rejected the earthly suffering of Jesus and his humiliation and promoted the glory of Jesus and his emulation of as the norm of the world. The Palestinian Jews, they claim to be the apostles of Christ, but they elevated the law and promoted allegiance to themselves as interpreters of the law. So all these folks were there claiming themselves to be in authority, and they were, now, you know how we do, we become a part of the church so we can have something to say. And we come in with their own agenda. They came in with their own agenda. So Paul wasn't concerned about what they really had to say about him, but he was concerned that if he didn't speak up, that they would follow the wrong gospel and then end up on the wrong path. And so he had to say something. So Paul found himself fighting those that were without. Without in the sense that they were without, but they were in the church. Y'all follow me? I wouldn't do that with y'all, would I? Y'all wouldn't do that with me, would you? Not unless I was acting like that. Right? Second thing he found himself, he calls him, he said, well, within, I'm between what's going on the outside and then what's going on the inside. He said, within, I was afraid.
Yeah.
There was some fear. Paul had noted that he was anxious about the letter of, see, you think that fighting people on the outside is really what caused you some problems. But really, what really caused you some problems, you want to know something and can't get the answer. You want some results and you don't know when that result is going to come. The doctor has turned his head and shook his head and you waiting for the Lord. Come on, somebody. You waiting for the Lord to give a response and he hasn't answered yet. That seems that you got to wait on the Lord. Paul is here, has sent the letter, and now he's waiting for the Lord into position to hear back from Titus what the church has said about the letter. But he's worried and concerned. And there ain't nothing wrong. Let's be. Y'all, you want to act like y'all super Christians? Everything is fine and everything is going and you ain't concerned about nothing. You know, I'll tell you, worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do and takes you nowhere. But every now and then,
come on.
Every now and then, I find myself rocking. Paul this morning, he was reeling and he was rocking. He's trying to suck this reeling and he was rocking. And he was afraid and his fear had taken him over inside. But he said, I'm concerned because I want to know what is happening at Corinth. Mm-hmm. I want to know what's going on with the people. How did they receive? See, what I don't want to happen, I don't want them to get my letter and get the wrong understanding. Anybody ever wrote a text? Did I say a text? Did I sum it up? Anybody ever wrote a note and found that, or a letter, and then the person on the other end who received it, when they read it wrong?
Yeah.
You may not have been able to get all of your emotions into it and how you want. You tried to say it the right way, but somehow because you said, and they, you know how the communication happened. You got the encoder and you got the decoder, and between the encoder and the decoder, you got all this noise.
Right.
And the noise comes in because I might not want to hear you that day.
Yeah.
That's noise.
Yeah.
Somebody said so and so about you that day. That's noise.
Yeah.
Somebody went ahead and interpreted for you that day. That's noise. So Paul had written this letter with good intentions, but he was concerned that some noise, because there was a whole lot of noise going on in Corinth, had gotten in the middle of it, and they may not have received it the right way. So he was concerned that if they received this letter, what might happen is the people who were committing incest, they may get a foothold. If they receive this letter and they take it the wrong way, they may completely discount me and completely discount my gospel. So Paul was overly concerned, not about what was happening with him, but concerned about his desire was to reconnect with the church, not to disconnect. Did y'all hear what I said? Your goal and intent in any situation in the church ought to be to connect and to build, not to tear down and destroy. I come, Jesus said, they may have life and have it more abundantly. Why are you trying to beat me down and make me less than who I am? You are the same person that I am. We fall down, but we get up. We're all the same. The saints just fall down and they learn how. Yeah, y'all better go with me here. But see, he finds himself deep in a state of trouble. But somebody say, the trouble don't last always. So Paul, he is now, he's fighting without. He's got fear within. So he finds himself in the middle of a situation where it seems to him right now, by his definition, there's trouble on every side. I like that there because, see, what happens is now Paul says, nevertheless, that verse number 6. I love it when somebody can be in something and then just say, well, whatever. He said, however, nevertheless, nonetheless, well, whatever. He said, nevertheless. And then he says what really works. God.
Yeah.
Somebody say, but God.
Yeah.
See, when you put God into the situation, all of a sudden, no matter what you're in, if you're in the middle of it, all of a sudden, things start to change. But I need you to see something here. Because in verse number 6, he said, and nevertheless, God that comforted those that are cast down comforted us.
Yeah.
I was waiting to hear back from Titus,
yeah,
but I really was waiting to hear back from the Lord. And the Lord, he comforted us by sending Titus to us.
Yeah.
He didn't do it in Ephesus. He didn't do it in Troas. But the God that I serve, he may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. He showed up in Macedonia. He sent Titus to us, and the word that he came with was, everything is all right.
Yeah.
I love this here because he said, nevertheless, God stepped into my situation. I was in the middle of it. Now, I need you to see something. He never told you God took him out of the situation. Rather, what he said was, in my situation, God comforted me. Everybody wants to be everything fine. Everybody want to live on easy street. Hang out on kosher corner. Everybody wants to live on a bed of roses. But he said, now, wait a minute. I'm in this situation. God did not take me out, but he comforted me. Let me use the English term. He made me comfortable. Some of us just need to get comfortable with where we are. We're in the middle of it. We just need to get comfortable with what we are.
Yeah.
Now you ask me, what does this have to do with Christmas? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm really very happy that you asked, because the real question is, what does this have to do? But if you look at the story and you think about it, really, we were just like Paul. Some of us right there, huh? In that same situation. Well, we find ourselves up against the wall.
Yeah.
Things are not going the way we think that they should go or that they should go. We find ourselves in hard times. We find ourselves struggling.
Yeah.
Some says that's going with on the job, we're struggling on the job. Yeah. Our relationships are bad. Our church situation is different.
Yeah.
We've been called to do something, we won't do it. We have a work, but we won't work.
God.
We have a servant,
Come
but
on.
We won't serve.
Come
we're
on.
Just in the middle
Come
of it. I'm struggling more than you. We're in the middle of it. We find ourselves just like Paul in the middle of where we were night, it has fallen, but morning hasn't come. We find ourselves in darkness. We had the darkest hour, but the break of day hasn't come. And we're looking for weeping may do it for a night, but you know, joy. We're in the middle of a situation, but we need to understand that God is not going to take you out of it, but he can make you comfortable. Everybody want out. But you need to be able to deal when you're in.
Yeah.
Let me grab myself out here, because I see Paul at another time. Paul said, I besought the Lord three times that he removed this thorn from my flesh.
Yeah.
I said, Lord, I want to do it. Can I make the story plain? I want to do a work for you, but I got this thing that's going on in my flesh.
Yeah.
And it's messing with me now. Now, nobody seems to know what was wrong with Paul, and so I won't even try to describe it. But he had something that was giving him a hard time, that every time he desired to do good, evil was always in. Huh? Anybody know that? Every time I want to do right, wrong shows up.
Uh-huh.
He said, and I went to the Lord three times to remove this thorn from me. But what did God say? Get comfortable with it.
Right.
My grace is sufficient.
Yeah.
I don't think y'all hear what I'm saying here. Paul, he said, I said, my grace is sufficient. I was sinking deep in sin. Far from a peaceful shore. Very deep in stand within. Sinking and rise no more. Bless the master of the sea. Heard me on the stress of rock. From the water, he lifted me. My savior, my. I'm in the water now, but I'm not drowning. I'm comfortable. What does that mean to us? Well, that was a crime made. Said, I need somebody to go down and redeem man. It seems they kill off every animal. They burn up everything they can burn. They burn off the bullocks and the birds. They turn the cows and the horses. They burn up everything. And none of it seems to sacrifice or be sufficient. I need somebody to go down. They check the record. Can I go back in history? They begin to look at possibility. Abraham, father of nation. But Abraham, no. Abraham was already in the middle of it. But Abraham lied. Said Sarah was his sister when Sarah was his wife. Can't you, Abraham, Noah? Can Noah go? You know Noah. Noah built the ark on dry land. No, Noah was in the middle of it. Because Noah, you know, after he built that ark, he got drunk. Can you, Noah? See, if I see Noah down there, my folks will be drinking more. And they're drinking right now. Elijah, can we send Elijah? You know Elijah. He stayed 450 prophets of Baal. We can send Elijah down. No, he was in the middle of it, because you remember after he did that, Jezebel told him. He ran scared. We can't have nobody on the Lord's side running, because the armor that I'm going to put them in has nothing to cover their back. They're fully clothed on the front side, but they're not suited for running. This is for fighting and not, y'all better come on now. Somebody said, what about Moses? He led the children of Israel. No, we can't use Moses. He's in the middle of it. Not only did he kill the Egyptian, Moses got angry. Angry he got, I said. I sounded like that guy from Star Trek. Angry he got, I said. You send Moses down there, and everybody will think it's all right. They have a nasty attitude. I mean, they think it's all right now. But if Moses had come, somebody said, what about David? David, he killed Goliath. He was the apple of God's eye. No, he committed adultery. I don't even need to talk about that. Job, he was a patient man. But Job complained a lot. If I send Job down there, everybody start complaining and think it's all right. But I heard that there was a lamb slain from the foundation. No finishes and no spots. He said, I tell you what, I'll go down. you gotta fix me a body.
Yeah.
Right. Because right now I'm so high you can't go over, man.
Yeah.
I'm so low you can't go up, man. I'm so wide you can't go around, man. But if you fix me a body, I will go down.
Yeah.
Somebody said, well, he came on down through 42 generations. I said, he got in the middle of the church. He came down, traveled through time, and got in the middle of it. How do you know? Because he split time, made it BC and AD.
Right now.
He got in the middle of it. And through the morning, he got in the middle of your situation and said, get comfortable.
Come on, God.
It's going to be all right. I heard him say, he could have been born in a hotel, but he didn't do it that way. Rather, he was born in a manger. He could have been wrapped in the best clothes. But he said, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Somebody said, well, he could have been born where the heater was working, but he said, let the animals breathe on me. Came down and lived. And not only did he live, but then he died. I like this part because he said, I got to go back to my father because I need to be in the middle of it. But here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to send you a comforter.
Yeah.
I don't think y'all heard me.
Yeah.
I don't think y'all heard me. He said, I'm going to send you a comforter. I know you're going to be in the middle of it a whole lot, but I'm going to send you a comforter. So get comfortable with it. How many of you are in the middle of it? How many of you are in the middle of it? I'm in the middle of it. I'm in the middle of it, but I am comfortable because I'm more than a conqueror. I'm in the middle of it and I'm comfortable because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm in the middle of it and I'm comfortable because no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I'm in the middle of my uncomfortable because I'm on the Lord's side. And if I'm on the Lord's side, I'm on the way to see. I'm in the middle of it, but I am so comfortable.
All right.
Greater is he that is in me. He that is in the world.
Yeah.
If you have a problem, I know a God who can solve it. He's Alpha and the Omega, beginning and the end. He's my coming to see keeper. He's a doctor that never lost a patient. He's a friend to the friendly. This is the man that we serve. If you're here today, I extend the invitation. If you're here today and you don't know him in the part of your sin, I extend the invitation to you. You're in a situation now that you can't handle by yourself. But it's easy to get to know the Lord. He said, I'm knocking, I'm at the door and I'm knocking. Romans 10:9-10 said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Yeah.
If you're there, if you're here, and you don't know him, I beg you to get to know him now for yourself. Your middle passage is now. Your time to get out of that situation is now. He's extending the invitation to you. You can't do it by yourself. If you're here, I plead with you. Come. If you're here and you're saved already, but you're looking for a church home, somewhere where you can do the work that God has already assigned you to do, I encourage you, I extend the invitation to you at this time. There's plenty of room. Scripture says the Lord asks the church as he sees fit. There's work here to be done. The harvest is plenteous. The laborers are few. If you're here and you know it, this is your invitation as well. If you're looking for something to work, we're going to extend an invitation to you.
In the middle of it.
Isaac Carey said, he's in the middle of it. I'm saying, I'm in the middle of it.
Right.
Paul says, he's in the middle of it. Nevertheless, God.
Amen.